Welcome to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night.
Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
Microphone?
Yeah, 47 years ago, what happened?
A bunch of garbage that people believed created a legitimate ruling class, and it didn't. Boo.
Sounds good. Blah, blah, blah. Sounds good. Okay. Test. So, Larkin Rose, you sound kind of like your voice is a little scratchy. What's that from?
I will suddenly sound enthusiastic and wide awake. How's that?
Haven't you been speaking in public schools or something?
No, I would never do such a thing. And no teacher would ever invite me to because they'd get fired. So now, let's pretend that didn't happen.
Okay, now you're louder. That's good. Okay. Isn't there a law against you speaking to children? There should be.
Probably. Okay. Several.
Hang on a sec. Let me play that back. All right. This is the real interview, sort of, but we're going to talk about audio gear for a minute because, you know, nobody talks about audio gear. They talk about liberty and politicians and tyranny and crap like that. And
right.
I find great solace in producing well-crafted sound. And I told you, you know, that before the cast that I love your videos and they're great, but I think they could be greater audio-wise and reach more people. Because even when people don't know they're listening to good audio or bad audio, they're like, they instinctively go, oh, I like this. The video looks better when the sound sounds better. So,
right.
And your response is,
I would do what I do on a shoestring budget, but I can't afford a shoestring. I do my videos on a literally like a $40 handheld nothing camera that doesn't have a mic input, and it is just it's ridiculous.
Why don't you have any money?
Well, I was robbed blind by the federal government many years ago.
You got mugged. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. Long-term mugged by the biggest thug on the block.
Well, because the Fiends were going to offer to buy you a lavalier mic. There's one that's about $32 that I use. I used it for the Guns and Weed movie. I used it for gun training and the non-aggression principle. And, you know, it sounds stellar. And it's like a cheap little Audio-Technica mic, but the thing is, it's not, you know, when the camera's 12 feet away and you're sitting on a rock in the wind talking about shooting cops, you know, 12 feet away, it's not picking you up very well. If you have a mic clipped on your shirt, it's going to pick you up as if it's in front of you. So,
right.
But you said you had a different camera, maybe?
Yeah, I just realized I have an older camera that may have a microphone input. Still nothing fancy, but at least I could do that. What I sometimes do is use the mic I'm using right now, and then after the fact, sync the video and the audio up, like record them separately, which is kind of obnoxious. I mean, it's usually the thing where I can make a mediocre video in 15 minutes or spend 5 hours making it a little bit better, which I
rarely have
the time to do.
With this mic plugged into your computer, plugged into your into the camera, in 16 minutes, you can make a great video. Like 15 and a half minutes. It would take you 30 seconds extra. What I'm willing to do is after the cast, if you look at your old camera and if it has the right audio input, I will mail you my lavalier mic. If it works for you, you can keep it as a gift from the Fiends. If not, I'll pay for you to send it back. Just try it out.
Well, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. I'll check and see if my older camera actually has an input yet.
Because, you know, one of my goals is yakking liberty on the internet 24/7 or whenever I can. But another is to improve the audio quality of everyone else doing it, because no one's going to take the whole thing seriously until we sound as good as CNN and Fox and look as good as CNN and Fox, but don't suck like CNN and Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So, I totally agree. Yeah. The mental impression is huge. Even if it has nothing to do with the actual message, it has a giant psychological impact. I just can't afford to do anything better at the moment. So,
and I'm using my new Shure Beta 57A mic, which I really like, which I don't even want to say how much it costs because I haven't been robbed blind yet. And, you know, the way you register your guns these days is you put a picture of them on the internet and then the government knows you have it. And I think it's the same with microphones, so I'm not going to talk too much about it.
Good plan.
What are you using for a headset? Sounds okay.
The cheapest, most pathetic, like earbud things you can possibly imagine. The microphone I'm using is a, like a, what is it, a Zoom H1. I really like it. It's actually a little self-contained thing we got for recording piano.
Yeah, I had the Zoom H2. Isn't the Zoom H1 with the Zoom H2 with video or something? Does it have video?
Yeah, it has some weird added thing that this one doesn't have. I forget what. I think mostly the guts are about the same. But I'm amazed by this stupid little mic. Because recording piano is a thing that's always a nightmare to make it sound good.
But this thing
actually does it.
I know. The Zoom H2, I mean, I used to podcast with that like 6 years ago. It's pretty damn good. It's pretty nifty. I like it.
Yeah, so that's what I use, and sometimes I bother to record on it and then sync up the audio to the video with my El Cheapo camera.
That runs into problems, though, if you don't have the sampling rate and the bit rate the same, and it always doesn't always work for long videos, too, because even if they're synced, there's no time code in most audio recordings. So.
Yeah, I'm always stunned that like it's a digital camera and a digital mic, and they'll still get out of sync.
Yeah, because the camera probably has time code, but the digital doesn't. You can get digital recorders that have time code, but they're like, you know, $1,200. So
more than $3.
More than $3.
Out of my price range.
Yep. Well, I'm a big fan of your stuff. I just want to make it sound better, and I'm willing to spend a little money to do that and help you out. So I'll mail, if you have the input for that in the camera and you want to use the old camera and have better audio, if the camera's good enough, I'll lend you this and you can try it out, you know, lend... trial basis. If you like it, you can keep it. If not, I'll pay to ship it back, and we'll figure something else out in the future for you. And
cool.
You know, I mean, I think you should have a chip in for like buy better gear for Larkin.
Yeah, I so much hate begging. even though people seem perfectly happy to chip in and help out, I just I don't know.
You work in a day job?
No, I'm a professional troublemaker. Book sales have been pretty dang good recently, though.
Cool.
But I decided long ago that whether I'm rich or poor, I'm going to make the money I make by annoying the state. I don't want to, even if I made $1 zillion, I wouldn't want to jump on a hamster wheel and be giving the state a big pile of money. I don't want to fund the destruction of humanity.
Yeah.
So I'd rather be poor, or at least if I'm going to be making money, I'll be making money undermining the system.
Yeah, I wrote you and said, interview starts in 15 minutes. I said, I'm psyched. And you said, I'm psychotic.
Yeah, and I'm usually baseline psychotic, but it's a little more so than usual.
Well, you're speaking figuratively. And, you know, you don't want to say those things these days because they'll Brendan rob you for it.
Right.
That's worse than getting robbed, getting Brendan robbed. Although, you know, if he had a good manager, he could really turn that into a career. But,
yeah, it's just... it's really creepy that happened at all.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
They, I'll see, I don't know how many of the details I remember, but I know they said, well, we're not arresting you for committing a crime because you didn't, but we're taking you into protective custody for psychological evaluation. And that's just so creepily fascist. And apparently it's not at all unique. Was that Tennessee? Was that where that was? It's a state thing, and apparently it happens a lot in whatever state that was in.
Virginia. I used to live there, and I know people it happened to, and that was before that law. Virginia loves to put people in hospitals for their own good.
Right. For your own good, we're just going to take you hostage. And the fact that they have any procedure to do that, and they said, well, we're not here to arrest you. You didn't commit a crime, but we're taking you into protective custody. I mean, come on. This is like Soviet Russia kind of stuff that you'd see in a movie. We're taking you into custody for saying things critical of the government because you need to be psychologically evaluated. Just, man, how messed up has this country become? Luckily enough, people got annoyed about it and said, well, you did what?
I think it helped that he was a vet. You know, a lot of vets got involved with that and were like,
yeah,
you know, well, if they, you know, and it's, the state will eat its own now. They used to not. They used to venerate vets, and I don't even want to get into the whole discussion of war, this, that, vets, whatever. But from a minarchist standpoint, like if you look at the fact that they will eat their own now, they'll eat anybody.
Yeah, and that's there are a bunch of signs I see of the tyrants in this country getting really stupid, which I'm thrilled about. Because it's making their empire fall over. But one of them is betraying their own mercenaries, the people who work for them or worked for them. and treating them like dirt. And if you annoy the people who are your enforcement arm, I mean, that's not a brilliant move tactically, you know, never mind the moral side of it. But they seem to be just treating soldiers like dirt.
Yeah, and it used to be like, you know, a lot of soldiers had some stake in, you know, this is the Republic, and whether it was brainwashing or not, it's like they believed in it. And if you piss off all the people like that from working for the government, you're going to end up with the TSA types that are like idiots, sub morons hired off a pizza box and given a Glock, you know?
Right, right. And then, you know, the worse, the more blatant the stupid fascism gets, the more people wake up and start to resist it or do whatever. And so if you can't, if the tyrants can't even keep up their propaganda message to their own mercenaries, you know, you're the good guy and we'll stand behind you. No, we don't care about you. We'll just leave you hanging out to dry.
They did that last week in Benghazi too, man. You know, isn't one of the Marine mottos, never leave a man behind? And they left some men behind and just fiddled their thumbs while they died.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, just from a tactical viewpoint, for the tyrants to do that to their own mercenaries, to treat them like that. And there's a bunch of different ways that they're treating veterans like dirt. I mean, it was years ago when they started doing the thing. I forget what the term for it is, but, oh, you signed up for this many years. Well, we can just decide that you want to go back.
Oh, what is the name for that? Where they extend your contract illegally.
Right, they involuntarily just drag you back in.
And they say there's no draft. You know, there's that draft, and there's also they destroy the economy to the point where it's the only option, it seems like, to some people to join up.
Right, they bankrupt you.
Poverty and draft.
Out of poverty, But yeah, and when they treat again their own mercenaries that way, to the point where I believe active military people gave more to Ron Paul by a mile than the other two candidates, which means they're fed up. Now I wish they'd get so fed up they'd just quit.
I try not to piss off military members. Like, I wouldn't join that thing on Facebook called the military or tax eating welfare F's or something, but you know, because they could be the last line of defense between me and a UN. I blue helmeted dragoon, you know, and there are the ones that say they're oath keepers, and I'm not getting into some old like thank you for your service, but you know, people actually thanked me and Nima for our service on the podcast on Veterans Day when we're not veterans,
right? Yeah, I want to thank you
for your service, Larkin.
Well, thank you. Seriously. It's been somewhat costly and annoying, but every once in a while it feels like it actually did some good. So
how do you keep a good attitude?
Who says I have a good attitude?
Well, maybe when you turn the mic off you don't, but you seem to have a good attitude. You're laughing right now.
How do you pretend to have a good attitude? It's sort of tough sometimes, but recently, because I do see a lot of movement in the right direction. I mean, I see thousands of people who are now thinking about ideas that they literally could not think about 5 or 10 years ago. I'm convinced that statism is doomed, not just this empire. I mean, this empire is in the middle of doing a face dive and nothing is going to keep it from collapsing. But that in and of itself, I don't particularly care. What matters is what happens on the other side. And that depends on how many people understand what freedom actually is and how many people want it. And that's growing by leaps and bounds. And I don't know why. I mean, I've been saying the same thing for 16 years. And for the first 10, three people paid attention. And now suddenly it's hundreds of thousands. And so I definitely see a big change happening. And so I think there's some stuff to be optimistic about.
Did you hear Ron Paul come out as an anarchist yesterday?
No, I've been away for today and a bunch of yesterday, but I had a couple people email me that said, whoa, you got to hear that speech. So I'm definitely going to check it out, but I haven't heard it yet.
Neiman and I were predicting that for the last year and a half, and I did a blog post about it. You know, Ron Paul comes out as an anarchist. He pretty much did. He didn't use that word. He did use the word voluntarism. But, you know, he basically, the good doctor pronounced the nation dead and then said what the solution is. And it's one of the last lines is the solution is not in the government. I mean, it was line after line. It was amazing. It was like they gave him 48 minutes, probably because they figure, you know, If he does this, we'll never have to listen to him again, and maybe his followers will vote for us. Yeah, right.
Right. No such luck for them. That's cool. Yeah, I haven't heard it yet, but I think it's – Ron Paul has always been an interesting thing to me because he would totally state – I mean, like the Founding Fathers, a bunch of the Founding Fathers, especially Jefferson, he said things which totally completely rule out government – and then turned around and said, well, we're going to have a little limited servant government. And
yeah,
Ron Paul dares to come out and state actual principles about self-ownership and things like, you know, I don't want government doing anything that I don't have the right to do, which kind of makes government disappear. It's not government anymore.
My theory is, you know, he started as a constitutionalist. He got into government because no one was doing it right, and he thought he could. He got elected because he delivered all the voters, you know, as a doctor, mm-hmm. delivered them as babies. that's how he got elected, and they just kept voting him. I think part of the reason, I mean, a lot of the people in his district probably aren't constitutionalists, or, you know, I mean, it's Texas, man. They like to throw people in. Anyway, you know, I think they just kept voting him in because it pissed everybody off. And, I think with time, he became more and more minarchist like you and I did, and finally, not that long ago, just stopped believing. You know, like you said something like, Nima asked you about your journey on an interview, and you said, like, you know, I was a small government guy, and I just, like, would make these arguments, and I'd find out myself contradicting myself, and it just got narrower and narrower until there's the only solution is no government. And I think that happened to Ron Paul. I'm guessing sometime during the presidential election when he saw just what was, you know, how he got shut out and cheated or whatever. And I mean, he's been quoting Murray Rothbard, you know, for 5 or 10 years on the floor of Congress. So he knows about that stuff. I think right. It just got to that point.
Yeah, I would love to have like a candid in private 15-minute interview with him to see what he really all the way thinks. You know, when he's not running for office and when he's not scared that people are going to take his words out of context and stuff like that, because he obviously, you know, he talks about the philosophical points. And like you said, like I said in the interview before, I just kept whittling away inconsistencies inside my own head until the statism just fell out. It was gone. Yeah. I realized, well, the government I want, when I narrowed it down to being legitimate and moral, wasn't there anymore. It wasn't government anymore.
Yeah. Well, what, you know, even his mentions of government in this speech yesterday, he was talking about a voluntary government, which is panarchy, which I'm fine with and I would sign up for. Where do I sign? You know, pick. It's like it'd be like choosing, you know, your phone plan and your garbage delivery or pickup and your, you know, UPS versus, it'd be a bunch of free, you know, a bunch of independent services, and you'd pick and choose like a Chinese menu.
Yeah. And my only complaint, which is hardly even a complaint, is why call it government when it isn't anymore?
Yeah.
It's like saying, let's have voluntary carjacking. Well, yeah, you can give the guy your car if you want to, but there's no punishment if you don't, in which case it's not carjacking anymore. It's just you're allowed to give him a car. And when a government ceases to be a coercive, aggressive, violent, you know, extortionist gang, it isn't government anymore. Like, if it doesn't have the right to boss us around and it doesn't have the right to do anything we don't have the right to do ourselves, I don't know why anyone would want to call it government anymore.
I mean, he addressed that in the speech yesterday. He said it's never been moral for you to go into your neighbor's house and steal things at gunpoint from them, but that's what our government does. And that's what all, and he said the same thing about all governments. So,
oh, I gotta check out that.
I sent
talk.
You a link. Yeah, I sent you a link to my blog post about it and a link to the YouTube video of him doing it, and check it out later. It's pretty heavy, man. He blew me away. He blew a lot of people away. And, you know, a lot of people on the, it's funny, Ron Paul supporters downvoted my blog post on Reddit and anarchists upvoted it. So, I guess the Ron Paul fans still aren't quite there yet, but, you know, I love the guy. He was an important part of my journey and a lot of people's journey. And, you know, there's 10,000 people out there who are minarchists, who were statists a few years ago and are going to be, most of them will be anarchists in a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely, I'm not the first to say it, but I love it. I forget who first said it, but.
And, you know, I
refer to Ron Paul as a gateway drug.
Yeah. You know, for me,
people started in the direction and then eventually they
for me,
give up
for me, it was, you know, it was Ron Paul. Then a weird detour to Alex Jones and then like you, Bad Quaker and Nima. And that was just it, you know?
Uh-huh. Then you fall off the cliff, and then you're out of state.
And then after I was full anarchist, I went and read like Murray Rothbard and crap like that. I mean, not crap like that, like, you know, intellectual stuff like that. I'd rather listen to you talk about shooting cops than. But you know, I had to go read all that stuff. So talk about the shooting cops thing, man. You got a lot of interesting attention. I agreed with what you said. You weren't saying to shoot cops. You were saying like, look, if you really believe in the Constitution, you believe in shooting cops or something like that. Go.
It was. Well, the funny thing is that the article, a video just came out, which is me reading the article. The original article came out like a year and something ago, I guess. And it was titled, When Should You Shoot a Cop? And the first thing the article says is most people are going to see that title. They're not going to read the article. They're just going to emotionally freak out and say, you should never shoot a cop. Why are you even blah, 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 blah. And sure enough, that's how a lot of people responded, proving the article exactly right. But it goes on to say, it doesn't even answer the question. It basically just says there has to be a line. There has to be some point at which you decide that just because something evil is called law, just because somebody with a badge is inflicting it on somebody innocent, doesn't mean you have to go along with it. And you have the right to resist. And if he has a gun and he's pointing it at you, the only way you're going to successfully resist is by shooting him. And if you look at history all over the world, you know, Nazi Germany being the cliche obvious example, that was law enforcement in action. And obviously what Nazi Germany needed more of was cop killers, people shooting the Nazi agents and the SS as they were going around harassing people.
And the few who did are heroes. I mean, you know about the ghetto uprisings. I mean, right, those people are
Warsaw
heroes.
Warsaw ghetto. Yeah. And we all say, yay, hooray for them. And people don't realize you're cheering for cop killers, which is great because they were the good guys. But if people can't think in terms of, you know, concrete, real concepts, and they, when it's just emotional mush and they see a title, when should you shoot a cop? And they say never. And then you say, oh, really? So, you know, if the Nazis are at your front door saying, where are the Jews? You should tell them. And if you happen to be one, you should just go along. You don't have the right to resist. And basically the two choices, and the video talks about this, your two choices are there is some point at which you have the right to forcibly resist government aggression against you, or you are never allowed to do that, in which case you're a complete slave.
Didn't Glenn Beck address your video?
Yeah, he read a little bit. The funny thing is he was using it as a political thing. Somebody printed out a flyer of When Should You Shoot a Cop and was handing it out at Occupy Phoenix, I think it was. And so Glenn Beck got talking about that and was like, oh, look at what the Occupy movement is like. Of course, I'm not the Occupy movement. I don't even know who is. I still don't know who is handing it out. You know, good for them. I would have been if I was there, but I wouldn't. But so he talked about it and he read a little bit and didn't mention my name and carefully didn't mention enough so people could look it up and see what it actually said. But he was saying this is the dangerous stuff that's out there. And but really that's, you know, it comes and
he's actually talked about secession and he's talked about like Second Amendment solutions.
Yeah, Second Amendment. And, you know, for somebody to say, oh, you shouldn't even ever talk about, you know, shooting a cop. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. Well, what do you think it's for? You know, what do you think the founders did?
Hunting quail. Hunting quail. That's what the NRA says.
Right. And what do you think, you know, the Battle of Lexington was a bunch of law enforcers saying, hand over your guns, and the colonists saying, no, we're not going to.
You're listening to the Anarchy Gumbo Podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com. Did your world collapse when Ron Paul didn't win? Don't keep hoping for some great man to fix government through government. Complete your evolution today to full-on anarcho-capitalist. Reward your brain with the freedom fiends and quit breaking your heart with some politician. While the libertarians argue,
but who would build the roads?
The freedom fiends have already built the roads and moved on to making the great media content of the libertarian paradise. Freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
And the title, obviously the title was designed to freak people out and make people emotional, mainly so I could point out, look how people react to the question when they don't even know the context. And really, you know, literally most of history would have been better if there were more cop killers. In the Soviet Union, what they needed was more cop killers. In Red China, what they needed was more cop killers. In Nazi Germany, what they needed was more cop killers. People who dare to forcibly resist the violent oppression and aggression of the state.
You don't shoot cops, do you?
Nope. Never shot, never threatened anybody. And I don't suggest people go get a cop hunting license and go out hunting.
Good.
But if anybody claims to believe in unalienable rights, whatever they think they are, you can't answer never to the question of when should you shoot a cop. Because by definition, what an unalienable right is it's a thing you have a right to do no matter what the law says, no matter what government says, no matter what the guy with the badge says. And to say, I have an unalienable right to do this, but if they come and try to take it away, I have no right to resist. It doesn't mean anything.
Some of the same
like a
people
slave that, saying I have a right to be free. I'm just not allowed to do anything to achieve it.
Some of the same people that talk about inalienable rights are also the people who say you have to obey any law.
Yep. Regardless. Exactly. And they don't even understand in their own heads what they believe, because what they believe is contradictory garbage. There were a couple guys down in South Carolina. One clicked like on my article and got in trouble. Kershaw County Republicans asked him to resign for clicking like on that article. And
Facebook,
so
Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
So, no, I avoid it like the plague at the moment.
Good.
But so I point out in a follow-up video I did, you know, here are these Republicans pretending to be conservatives and believing in the Second Amendment and the First Amendment. First of all, they kick somebody out for saying, hey, look at this article. Like doesn't mean I absolutely agree with everything in it. It just means, hey, look at this.
I'm clicking like on you on Facebook. You're not on there, but there's a fan page with 2,070.
Yeah, there is a page there. I've been to it like twice. Mostly my wife and another guy I know manage it from time to time.
Someone wants to know if this is your speech. 2012 Illuminated Awakening, stand up.
No, sounds fun, but doesn't sound like me.
I'll say that. Larkin says no, but sounds fun.
I wish it was, unless that's just somebody's random title for it. But so the Kershaw County Republicans got all mad at this guy who clicked like, and then they turn around and pretend to believe in the Second Amendment. And they harp about, you know, we would never advocate anything illegal. Okay, well, then just walk into the cage and be a slave like you ought to be. Because all legal means is the politicians condoned it. Like, if they decide to legalize taking away your guns and sticking you in a cage and stealing all your property, are you still going to say, we would never condone anything illegal?
I think, fine,
you're a slave. Stop pretending you believe in freedom.
I think
go crawl into a cage.
I think this is you. Let me know. Someone's put music.
Probably support the troops as they kill whomever the liars
in
D.C.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where that title came from. If you look up Message to the Voting Cattle on YouTube, that's it's actually a part from the audiobook of my novel, The Iron Web. And some guys in Germany, first they did a German version of it, and then they did the English version and did the visuals and the music and stuff for it. But that's actually a piece of The Iron Web, the audiobook of that. It doesn't give the story around it. It just gives what one of the characters is saying.
I like the talk. I like the talking in the video, but the music makes it sound like a Save the Puppies commercial. You know, it's that tinkling solo minor key piano.
Okay, well, that was somebody else was doing. I sort of like a bunch of what they did to it. So it gives no context to the story. It's just it's a thing that one of the characters says. It's a piece of a thing that one of the characters says, and I was stunned because that character makes me look nice. I mean, he's very blunt and rude about it, bashing statism. And I was stunned by how big a ratio there was of likes to dislikes. You know, I would have expected 1 in 30 people to say that was cool, and the other 29 to say, "What's wrong with you? You horrible." But it's been hugely lopsided in the other direction, being about as rude and in your face as you can possibly get. You know, it doesn't swear, but that's about the only thing it doesn't do. It calls everybody cattle and points out how almost everyone in the country is a clueless hypocrite. And all these people are saying, yay. And I wonder how many of the people saying yay didn't realize I meant them, too.
That's a Frank Zappa line, man. You probably think this song's about someone else in the song Plastic People. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's about that guy over there. I really was stunned by how positive a response that got, because, you know, people say, well, you have to be nice and you attract more flies with honey than poo and, you know, all that. And I usually fall on the side of, look, I want to tell the truth. And if people get offended and angry, maybe later they'll think about it. But I don't want to water it down to be nice so much that they miss the actual point, which is a pretty gigantic paradigm shift. It isn't, well, let's vote for a slightly better guy. It's stop voting. You're advocating mass evil. Yeah. And I prefer the blunt in your face. And that message to the voting cattle, you can't get much more blunt than that. It's 20 minutes of being punched in the face verbally. And lots of people really liked it. So I'm thrilled.
You know, I'm a big multitasker. Don't be insulted by this, but I'm like actually editing the Fiends cast I recorded right before our cast while I'm doing this, but I'm listening to you and I'm going to listen to this all later, and a lot of other okay. people will. But I need a title for this cast. I think I'm going to call it Message to the Voting Squirrels, because we talked about squirrels a lot on the cast and about squid voters. And yeah, I think they're kind of like squirrels.
That works. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's secession. Yeah. It's in the news.
Yeah, it's sort of funny and interesting that, you know, I want people to just take it one logical step further. And instead of asking one group of gangs to ask a different group of gangs if they can secede, have 300 million individuals tell both levels of gangs, we're done with you, we're not obeying you or giving you money anymore, goodbye. Because ultimately, the secession that matters is at the individual level.
Right.
For states to say, we don't want to be subject to this national level of tyrannical stupidity. Well, that's good and that's interesting, and at least it gets people thinking. But ultimately, it should lead down to the level of every individual saying, I don't want to be anybody's slave. I don't want to be subject to any supposed authority. I kind of want to run my own life and spend my own money and make my own choices. Thank you very much.
I have a theory is that the WhiteHouse.gov secession petitions were started by Cass Sunstein.
Could be.
You know, just to get lists and to like be able to say, look at these people, something must be done. Because he wrote a white paper for Obama about conspiracy theories. And he had like, you know, five possible solutions for the government to dealing with counter government conspiracy theories. And one of them was hire people to start your own conspiracy. You know, basically said, yeah, in a public document, we need to do more false flags on the internet.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thanks for admitting it. And wasn't there like some counter petition already? And maybe this is
for Austin. Austin, to if Texas secedes, Austin wants to stay part of the union.
Oh, I meant a thing where some people were saying, deport him. I think that anybody who signed one of those petitions should be deported.
Well, yeah, and I mean that would sound good, except for, you know, in the America lover to leave it. Where are you going to go? And Nima said, you know, it's kind of like that character Michael Bolton in the movie Office Space. You know, why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks. Why should I leave? They're the one who sucks.
Right. And that's my attitude, is I have no intention of going anywhere. And, you know, I may be stubborn and obnoxious, but I intend to stay that way. And
digging in.
I don't feel any obligation to run away. Now, if anything ever gets bad enough and I have to quote unquote run away, it won't be very far. It won't be out of the area. It'll just be somewhere where I get harder to find.
It'll be by that rock that you filmed the shoot police
right,
video.
Right, by that rock.
That's where they can look for
where
you.
Where that rock is,
they can look
I'll
for
be
you
behind
there.
It with every weaponry. But yeah, and I totally sympathize with people who just bail out on this crashing fascist empire and want to go somewhere else. I'm not going to do that, because sooner or later, the evil empire is going to reach everywhere, and I'd rather stand where I am and do what resistance I can and try to get people to understand the way society should be and understand what freedom actually means. And it doesn't mean you get to vote for one of two slave masters.
Well, they'll drone you where you stand. I mean, did you live in Philly when the move thing happened in the 70s?
Yeah, in the suburbs where they just bombed their own city. That was
talk about that, man. I mean, I was like 14, I think. How old are you? Can I ask?
Yeah, see if I can do math. 44 now.
Okay, I'm 48, so I was probably 14, 15. You're probably 10 or 11. I mean, I remember that. I was going to probably boarding school, church, you know, church reform school in Pennsylvania, in Paoli at the church farm school at the time. So it was 40 miles away, and like a lot of the kids that I knew there were from Philly, and it was a big news item. It was kind of like Waco in the 70s. Talk about what happened and then tell your reactions to it, please.
Well, yeah, without all the details, basically there was this group that was being rowdy and disobedient and not obeying the cops. So they bombed it. Like they dropped an incendiary device out of a helicopter, I think.
They burned
and then
like
it burned down however many blocks. It got completely out of control, as if there's a way to control a bomb. But burned down a whole bunch of blocks, and it's I don't know how long it took to fix everything. But just, I mean, just paramilitary combat in downtown Philadelphia. It's just bizarre, and it made the news of I guess it was Mayor Good was mayor.
Mayor
at the top.
Good.
Yeah, well, there's a
misfortunately named there was. Mayor Good. Yeah,
Mayor Not So. As long as his first name is Not So.
What was your reaction as a kid to that? Did you, because when I was a kid, sometimes things like that would happen and I'd be like, good, they must have been bad people. I would buy the lie. But something in me, like, you know how you can tell when you're telling a lie, something goes, you're telling a lie. Like your conscience, like yeah, my conscience yeah. knew.
Yeah. And I don't remember thinking that much about it, except, whoa, what the heck? But I will, with utter shame, confess that when Waco was happening, I had a little bit of that mentality of, oh, they're criminals, just go in and get them. And it wasn't until later that I had the foggiest idea of what was actually happening in there and what they were even accused of, because the media does this great propaganda thing to make the sheep thing, well, just go in and kill them all.
Yeah.
Right.
That's interesting, because by that time, I had enough distrust of police that I knew something was wrong with that. But I was still voting. I was still a statist. I was anti-gun at the time, but I still just was like, that doesn't look right. Because it reminded me of the Vietnam War. And that was one of my first images as a kid, was being five and watching that and just going, this is horrible. And it's interesting, though, because you came to full-on anarchy a few years before I did. How many years did you say? 12? Something like that?
16-ish, about. Yeah.
I mean, I've been a libertarian for 6 or 7 years, and I've been a full-on anarchist for under 2 years. So it's weird, like, if you could plot on some kind of graph, you and me side by side, like, you know, as a kid, we didn't buy any of it. And then at, like, you know, age 30, you thought Waco was a good thing, and I was thinking it looked kind of weird. And then a couple right. years, a month later, you became a full-on anarchist, and I was still voting until, you know, the last, till Obama election. And I voted for Bob Barr, and like, what kind of statement is that, man?
Right. And it was more of a vague sort of, well, they must be bad guys, because, you know, they did the propaganda wing.
Child molesting gun owners
right.
who hate
exactly.
the government.
They make up stuff, and I just had this vague sense.
Racists.
That, well, they're bad guys in there.
Racists, who for some reason a third of them were black, but they're racists.
Right. Bunch of black, like little old black ladies who are for some reason racist.
Yeah.
Not sure how that works. As soon as I learned any of the details, I was just like, what? That's not the impression I got.
Yeah.
So it's not like I knew the whole thing and thought, yeah, that was good. But I was duped enough by the propaganda to think, well, they're bad, dangerous people, go in and get them. And so mostly I was just still dumb enough to think that stuff that comes out of the TV might have a shred of truth to it. And then later I learned a whole lot more about what actually happened there. And I'm seriously embarrassed that I fell for it and that I was, you know, at least a little bit cheering for the bad guys, cheering for the violent, murderous invaders, also known as law enforcers, who just committed mass murder.
I used to when I was addicted to heroin, I used to nod out watching the show Cops and cheer the cops. How effed up is that?
I remember loving the show Cops. Now I think I'd throw up if I watched a whole episode.
I know. There's a lot more shows like that now, too. There's like Fed cop shows and FBI and DEA. And I think, I don't know if it's a conspiracy. I think it's a product of the horizontal enforcement of, you know, media companies say, well, that's what people want. And they probably get a tax break to make it. And they get, you know, free participation of guys who are doing active things with guns and door knockers, door breakers, you know, which is like having paid actors for free. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's just, it's sickening propaganda. I hope a few people who watch can actually see through it. And of course, you know, with the controls they put on it, what makes it to the TV screen isn't going to be what shows them to be the psychotic fascists they are. Well, it'll be the nicest fascist stuff they do and the most supposedly justifiable.
Ooh. I have the
but even that is a tough sell now.
I'm sorry. I'm psychotic today, too, in a good way. I'm talking all over you. I don't mean to, but it's a lively interview. You got to say that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just found the perfect picture for the episode title, Message to the Voting Squirrels. It's me reclining on my couch, looking at a squirrel outside the window with my two cats about 4 inches away from that squirrel, looking like, if that wasn't there, we'd eat you, man.
Your lunch.
Yep.
Okay. Sounds perfect.
Go on. So cops are bad, okay?
Yeah, and more people seem to be finally figuring out that they are not our friends. And it's sort on the one hand, you know, when fascism gets so blatant that everybody can notice it and say, hey, something's wrong, you know, there's something sort of good about that. But the fact that people completely miss the principle, you know, when the first idea of, hey, I think that habit isn't very healthy, let's send in a paramilitary invasion into the guy's house. The fact that anybody thinks that's a rational or moral attitude to have, a response to a bad habit, is just painfully depressing. That people, especially people who talk about their country as the land of the free, where if you smoke the wrong thing, the army barges into
your
house.
There's a really good cartoon. Have you seen that cartoon? It's like six panels of the same image. It's a young U.S. soldier in uniform deployed somewhere reading a letter from home. And it's like, dear son, mom was arrested for having a gun in her purse. Your brother was arrested for pot. Your sister didn't pay her taxes. And grandpa got the farm taken away. But I really want to thank you for fighting for our freedoms over there.
Fighting for our freedoms. Yeah. And it's sad that they still even try to use that propaganda. I mean, to be blunt, any soldiers listening, if you want to defend our freedom, I can tell you what direction to aim your gun at the only risk there has been to America's freedom for the past 100 years. But you work for them, so it's not going to turn out too well.
You know,
the idea that the idea that the Taliban is the threat to our freedom, or somebody in the Middle East is. Come on, just how. How ridiculous does the propaganda have to get before people say, all right, I can't quite stomach this. This is a little ridiculous that you have the control freaks in Washington monitoring people, locking people up without charging them, rummaging through their stuff and saying, we need our soldiers to protect our freedoms from some guy in a cave in Afghanistan.
I love that you use that word control freaks. And I hope that that's kind of entered the general vernacular of some people. It's really accurate. And it's really concise, and it's kind of old school. It's kind of 70s. We use the word square a lot for status. We feel like, that is so square, man, which is kind of 70s. We also came up with a new – we decided that those people aren't the same species. They are Homo parasitis. They have devolved into a subspecies of Homo whatever we are, sapien, to Homo parasitis.
Yep. Sounds good. Sounds accurate enough. Yeah, and it really is, like, control freak is my nice term for them, relatively speaking. Those people really are, and I was just having a discussion with somebody about this. Most of us can understand the idea of just being sort of a selfish butthead. You know, you have tons of money, you don't care about anybody else, you just do whatever you want, and you have fun. You know, we can at least imagine being somebody like that. But most of us have trouble imagining what the control freaks really think, like what really drives them. Because if I had $1 billion and I was just a greedy butthead, the last thing in the world I would think of is I want to go cause more trouble and try to create a welfare state. I think I have $1 billion. I can do whatever I want for the rest of my life. But these people are actually driven by the love of dominion, by wanting to dominate and own other human beings. It isn't just wealth. It's the power over other people. They literally resent the fact that there are human beings somewhere in charge of their own lives. And there is no other way to explain how these people behave. When you have $20 billion, why on earth would you feel the need to try to rule the world unless you really are just an evil psycho? And people don't want to admit the people in government at the top are really just evil psychos.
There's a term for that. It's libido dominandi. Have you heard that one?
No, I hadn't heard that before.
It's the psychological condition of getting aroused by oppressing people. And it sounds kinky, but it's not like kinky in a good way. It's not like, you know, consensual dominance. It's I want, you know, libido dominandi is the need, the sexual need to control society.
Yeah, and that's literally as messed up as you can get. You know, if you believe in the concept of evil, you can't get more evil than somebody who is literally bothered by the fact that somewhere else there is somebody who isn't under his control and domination. And that really is what drives these people. Because if they had $10 billion, why else would they keep doing it? Why would they try for a new world order? You got $10 billion, you're set.
If I had $10 billion, I would get a big ranch in Wyoming on the other side of the state from where I am now. And
why do you just get Wyoming?
Yeah, just, well, you know, that's what Dick Cheney's done. But he also has libido dominandi. I would do it to just have some space between me and all the voting squirrels.
Yeah, and just a normal, even a nasty, heartless, selfish person wouldn't bother trying to dominate other people. They just have a bunch of toys and be comfortable, and, you know, they might sort of be selfish and heartless and not care about anybody else. But there's something dramatically worse about the people who strive for quote unquote high office. You know, Mitt Romney, Barack Obama, Bush, the other Bush, Clinton, these people are evil. Only evil people want to dominate the world. You know, simply greedy people can want to have tons and tons of money and just want to think of themselves. You know, that's perfectly understandable. But people have trouble understanding the conspiracies and nasty things being done to them because they have trouble relating to human beings who want to violently subjugate mankind, because most of us just can't relate to that. It's just way the heck out there. And so people have a hard time imagining that, oh, people in our government would never like murder 3,000 civilians just to increase their own power. Yes, they totally would. It's called Vietnam. And if you think they wouldn't do it again in a different way, why not? They've already shown over and over again they don't mind committing mass murder for their own political power. In which case, you shouldn't ever trust them to do anything. And when anything bad happens, you should instantly suspect the people who have committed mass murder before. But people want to imagine good motives in the heads of people who gravitate towards positions that only evil people want, which is a position where you can violently dominate your fellow man.
Worms.
How was that for a
worms. You know, that's how we say, I agree with you, or you speak the truth, is worms.
Worms.
Worms. So, what harmed you? Yeah, it was a good rant, man. and I did a lot of double multitasking here. I'm writing the show notes for the podcast I recorded before this. What harmed you more, the election or the hurricane? And why?
Well, physically, the hurricane was somewhat inconvenient, but existentially, the election was devastating and traumatic and depressing. And, to see that spectacle, to see the victims of human enslavement playing the game and legitimizing the game after, you know, these centuries of imagining that we're progressive and enlightened and we're thinking modern people and we're going to go out and choose which jackboot is going to be on our throat for the next 4 years. It is pretty darn depressing to see people still falling for such a patently ridiculous lie. I guess the good news is there are lots and lots and lots and lots of people who aren't falling for that lie anymore. And there's still a minority as far as percentage, But the numbers are growing really fast. So the people who dare to talk about the fact that democracy doesn't equal freedom, it doesn't equal good, it equals legitimizing your own enslavement, which sort of sucks. And so the fact that there are thousands and thousands of people piling on board and understanding that is, you know, a ray of hope amidst the ridiculous spectacle of the election, where lots and lots of slaves decide whose whip they want hitting them on the back for the next 4 years. So, but that's, you know, that's been depressing for ages. But now there's actual signs of progress of people who are saying, yeah, I don't really want anybody owning me except me.
So, how do you deal with those people, man? I'm really big on blocking people on the internet and in person. And, you know, I mean, I have to talk to statists because otherwise I'm preaching to the choir. But it becomes apparent to me really quickly if they're just going to spray, you know, Monsanto logic be gone over everything you're saying. And part of it is how vociferously they defend the state. You know, if they're kind of like, well, who would take care of the roads? I can talk to them. But if they're like, how dare you think you could succeed from the, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just when they get angry, like you said something bad about their mother, then I know it's time to walk away. How do you personally deal with that? And do you have any stories about it?
I actually, well, in person, there's a lot of people I just don't deal with at all because I literally feel compelled to point out that they're advocating evil if politics comes up, and it usually does. So I just kind of avoid them and don't say it. But like under my YouTube videos, I go out of my way to spend a bunch of time individually responding to comments. And it's only about 10% because I hope the people who are spouting statist garbage will get a clue. And 90%, the people who dare to think about it, it makes for a great psychological study to watch a devout statist argue for statism. Because if you just ask the right questions, they'll start saying the weirdest, bizarre things because statism is a weird, bizarre belief system. The idea that in order to be civilized, we need a parasitic gang that bosses us around and threatens us and steals our money, that will make us civilized. And through simple questioning, I can usually make statists say things like that. And other people will go, whoa, wow, did he really just say that? But I've actually found that it's hard to tell when an idea will actually get through to somebody's head, because I've had some people who are the most, you know, fire-breathing, state-worshipping fascists for years and years, and I'd argue with them and give up and walk away. And literally years later, they'd say, well, I was thinking about what you said about this thing, and I thought, whoa, I didn't see any sign at the time that you thought about any of that. You just did your programmed in tantrum, but every once in a while, somebody will somehow break out of it. But in addition to that, it's always just a good lesson for the spectators to, because it's a study of the cult of statism, to see how this blind faith belief system and the mythical deity called government, how it works and how irrational it makes people think and behave. So it's a good way to study the disorder. Sort of hate to go in that direction because they love to go in that direction where if you disagree with us, you must have a mental disorder.
We're right.
But we're right. So heck with that.
You're listening to the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
All right. So, you know, we were wondering about what to ask you about for the third and final chunk of this. And, you know, I go back to like three act format. You know, you have the normal world, the hero enters the special world, and then he comes back to the normal world, bringing useful information for society. That's the hero's journey. And there's always redemption in the third act. So give me some hope for the future, or don't. But let's talk about, you know, liberty in our lifetime, liberty in our grandkids' lifetime. What?
The timeline, I don't quite dare to guess, but I do think statism is 100% doomed to completely collapse and never, ever, ever come back. because it is a provably irrational, self-contradictory, blind faith belief system. Literally, I can, just by asking some questions of any statist, I can prove that their own ideas contradict themselves, just like they did when I had statism in my head. And the reason I eventually got rid of it is I kept whittling away the contradictions until I wasn't a statist anymore. And that it wasn't my goal. I didn't say, hey, I'm going to keep doing this until I'm an anarchist. I said, I'm going to keep doing this until I'm not contradicting myself. And when I got to that point, I realized, wow, I can't advocate any government anymore, because it just occurred to me government can't ever be legitimate. And because that's something you can prove just as easily as you can prove that, you know, the sun doesn't go around us, we go around it. Eventually, it was destined that everybody would know the truth. We're not going to go back to thinking that the sun goes around us. And when people come to realize that the lie of authority and government is a provable lie, it's not, you know, I know a lot of people came to be anarchists by comparing, well, what would society be like with government or without, and which would be better? That's not how I got there. I got there by figuring out that government is Santa Claus. It can't exist. It was never real. It's not even a choice. If the choice is, well, can we have a, would society work better with a group of people who have the moral right to dominate everyone else? Well, sorry, there can't be such a thing. I don't care whether society works with it or not. It's like saying, well, will Christmas work without Santa? Well, it's kind of irrelevant. It's kind of irrelevant to whether he exists. If he doesn't stinking exist, then he, that question disappears. And then it's just, how do we deal with Christmas without Santa? So the question is not, should we have a government any more than it's, should we have a Santa? It's, when are we going to get around to being rational enough to deal with human beings understanding reality and not hallucinating that there's this divine right of politicians, that there's this group of people who for some reason has the right to steal and the right to murder and the right to boss you around. You know, superhuman rights that I don't have and you don't have, but somehow these political rituals and documents and pieces of parchment, somehow they bestowed these magic superhuman rights on this special group of people. When the mythology and the lie falls away, it just, it clears up so much, and you stop thinking in terms of the lie. And it literally, I have a hard time understanding what I believed when I was a statist, because I can't make the idea even make sense inside my own head. Like, it's easier for me to imagine believing in Santa Claus now than it is to imagine believing in government. Because at least Santa was this fictional guy, and it might be sort of hard to disprove his existence. But government is really easy to disprove. And there's half a dozen different ways. Here, I'll do one really quickly. Can you delegate a right you don't have? No, you can't. Therefore, nobody in Congress has a right I don't have. Amen. No government, no law, no authority. The end. It's yeah. Not a complicated thing. The lie is ridiculously complicated. This huge convoluted thing of rituals and, well, we somehow delegate to them rights we don't have by way of voting for people that we say represent us by bossing us around and taking our money. This huge attempted rationalization of what's just an irrational, bogus cult belief. And when people escape it, they look back and say, why on earth did I ever fall for that lie? And because of that, this is only going to go in one direction. More and more people are going to realize that government, the concept itself, is a complete bogus lie. And when enough people realize it, it just goes away. Just Santa Claus, just poof, it's gone. And we're never going to believe that again, because now we understand why, how ridiculous it was to ever believe it to begin with. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a long time, although, like I said, thousands and thousands of people are piling onto the bandwagon now. But it's completely inevitable. We will see a stateless society, just like we will see a Santa-free society.
Do you think in our lifetime or later?
The whole planet, no. A big chunk of it, yes.
I care about my chunk of it.
Yeah, unless I get droned or something. I really think this is accelerating at such a rate that we will, and luckily the U.S. empire is doing a complete nosedive and is about to bite the dust.
Really? So I'm 48. Do you think when I'm 80, I will have no problem if I want to walk around open carrying an AK-47 and smoking a joint naked.
If you're in the right place, yeah.
I don't think Wyoming will be that place.
You can already do that in Wyoming.
Except for the pot part and the naked part. Man, it's really like Christian tree in here. I mean, literally, so in the 3 years we've been here, they've made it legal to conceal carry a gun without a permit. And I really believe this is going to be the last state to have legal or decriminalized marijuana. I believe it.
Yeah.
I don't even smoke pot, but you know, if it were legal when I'm 80, I'll probably have enough aches and pains and just want to smoke it because I can by then, you know?
Right. Just to try. Yeah, I never have either. I don't even drink.
Oh, I have.
I'm way too much of a goody good.
I'm a recovering alcoholic and drug addict, and I have a lot of analogies between recovery and people's addiction to the state and like our journey, you know, and it's like I was thinking about when you were saying like, I can't even believe the things I used to say, you know, and it's kind of like someone in recovery looking back on when they used to be shooting poison in their arm every day and drinking their liver to death, you know, going, how did I do that? And it's an addiction and it's a belief in a false thing. I mean, drugs and alcohol aren't bad, but if you have the genetic predispositions I have, they are bad and you can't use them and you can't have just one. And I've been clean since 94, but you know, I used to do that stuff all the time and I can't believe I used to do it. And sometimes, you know, I'll talk to younger guys that are like, I used to sponsor the guys that were unsponsorable, like the people that kept relapsing, all their sponsors fired them. I'd sponsor them and they still wouldn't stay clean. And then like 5 years later, they'd call me up and be like, hey, I'm clean. And it's the seed you planted in my head. And I see the same thing with the state and with statism.
Excellent. Yeah. And I know some other people who are in AA and stuff who see a very clear parallel between statism and other kinds of addiction.
There's a line in AA, in the AA book, like, you know, is there anyone who's out, something I'm paraphrasing, is there anyone who's out of reach of our program? And it says something like, there are very few, but there are those who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. And that's what I think of the statists who will never get it.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, oddly, I think they actually serve a purpose, like in comments under YouTube or debates anywhere, to show the sickness of statism to other people. It's like, you know, showing somebody who's just starting to drink, you know, here's this guy who's been a complete alcoholic for years. This is what you might become.
Yeah.
So I can show them, if you really want to believe in statism, look at this guy. Yeah, here's a statist. Do you want to sound like this?
And statism works in degrees too. You know, like when you're first shooting dope or drinking a lot, it's great. And nobody can tell you it's going to kill you. You know, 20 years of that, and it's killing you and you still can't stop because you're so hooked, but you know there's something wrong. I mean, that's kind of the point I was when I was voting for Bob Barr. You know, I was like, I was the alcoholic who'd been to a couple meetings but said, I need to go do more research and drink more, you know?
Right. And it really is a statism really is a temptation. I was just,
I don't know. Do you relapse into statism? Do you go? Do you have to call your sponsor and say, I'm going to vote at 4 a.m?
I don't mean it's a temptation for me, but I was just talking to a group today about the fact that, you know, when a tyrant comes along and says, hey, if you just give me power, I can make the world what you think it should be. I can protect you. I can make your neighbors pay for the military that you know we should have. I can make your neighbors, I can stop them from making the choices that you find disgusting or you think they're irresponsible. Just give me the power and I'll make the world the way you know it needs to be.
Vote for me and I'll set you free, like that old song. Yeah.
And the hardest thing for almost anybody to do, anybody who's still a statist, is to say, yeah, I'd like the world to be different, but I sure as heck don't want you trying to make it different by forcibly dominating my fellow man. I'd rather he be free to be what I don't want him to be than have you trying to force him to be what I wish he was. And almost nobody can do that. And until they give up statism and then they realize, wow, how did I ever imagine I had the right to tell my neighbor what he can smoke and like where he can build his house and who he can work for and all of that garbage. But it's so tempting. It'll make you feel good. The politician drug will make you feel good by promising you you'll be protected from poverty and crime and disease and invasion. I'll make everything safe and happy and everything will be wonderful. Take a few more doses of statism. And people fall for it. And then they turn around and say, oh, look what the government did this week. Well, we can't do away with it. You know, I can quit anytime I want. I just need a little bit less of statism. So they go for limited statism, like that ever works.
That happens with alcoholics and addicts. You know, they don't want to give it up completely, but they're like, I'll just do it on weekends, or I'll only do it when I'm happy, or I'll only do it when I'm sad, or, you know, I won't shoot heroin, I'll just shoot speed, or I'll never steal for it, or, you know, trying to like arrange the insanity into something sane, and it always leads to the same place.
Right, and it just doesn't work. And so the attempt at limited government, it doesn't stay limited. There's either none or there's infinite. And there are times in between when it's in the process of growing, but you can't keep it little any more than if you're actually an alcoholic, you can just have a beer a night or whatever you tell yourself you can do. And then, there's a bunch of parallels.
I think where Ron Paul would fit into all of that is he's like an alcoholic drinking near beer. And there are alcoholics who drink near beer. I never liked the taste of beer. I only liked what it did to me, so I never did that. But my friend said that's like a friend of mine in recovery said, yeah, well, you drink a near beer, and then pretty soon you're shooting some almost heroin, and before you know it, you're smoking, I can't believe it's not cocaine.
Right, exactly. And then you're doomed. But yeah, the whole scale, and it totally fits, because when people think, well, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need some government. I need some, you know, whatever drug it is to get through the day.
It's Prozac.
It's been a tough day. I really need some.
Prozac.
Right. Need some Prozac to get through the day. And there isn't such a thing as a little bit. It's if you play the game at all, the game's going to play you. And politics will always be that way. And people, I voted because I wanted it to force my ideas on everybody else, and gosh darn it, it turned around and forced somebody else's ideas on me. Well, golly gee, who do you think's to blame for that, you hypocrite?
I did a
YouTube video recently called My Sympathies, and if you really want to be offended, if you're a Democrat or Republican, watch that. Because I basically point out that all of their concerns and worries about, oh, the government's doing this, it's totally their own dang fault. You voted for it. You played the game that said, I want government to force society to be what I want and to fund what I think it should fund. And when somebody else won the game and now you have to pay for their ideas and follow their choices and you bellyache about it, well, boo-hoo. You played the game. You wanted it to be that way. You just wanted the guy to be the guy who comes out on top. And when you don't, you have no right to complain. So literally, if you vote, you have no right to complain because you played the game and you made it that way. The only people who have the right to complain are the ones who say, I didn't want government to rob anybody. I didn't want it to boss anybody around. I wanted it to leave everyone in freedom. In other words, stop existing. But to say, well, I wanted it to club my neighbor over the head and my neighbor won and now it's clubbing me over the head, well, good for you. So you pretty much deserve it.
So in the statism is alcoholism or addiction paradigm, Ron Paul would be the near beer. No, I think Ron Paul would be the Prozac and Gary Johnson would be the near beer.
Yeah, not a bit good. Although it's interesting to see, you know, near beer is because you're about to quit or something. It's interesting to see how many people's journey have started with somebody like Ron Paul and minarchism, including mine and most of the people I know, where eventually it falls off the scale. But the reason I say voting is not the answer, including Ron Paul, don't stop there, don't campaign for him, don't petition for him, because if you stop there, it's like trying to stop at a beer a day. It doesn't work.
The analogy there, it's a really hard leap to go from statism to anarchism. Many people do it. You know, I guess it would be kind of like how alcoholics take it one day at a time. You know, don't vote for Ron Paul one day at a time. You know, you can't, I guess that's minarchism or something.
Yeah, and it's because it is. And the weird thing is, I know minarchists who for literally decades just won't move that last inch. You know, they have a list a mile long of what they don't want government to do, and like three items on a list of what they do want it to do. But if you say, well, how about reducing it from 3 out of a billion to 0 out of a billion, and they emotionally freak out. No, we have to have a government. It has to be.
Yeah. I mean, if you want a list of every minarchist in America, go to that White House petition to secede.
there they all are. Right. And it would seem like, well, why can't you just step from 3 to 0? All the things you don't want it to do, just apply it to 3 more things or 2 more things. But there really is a fundamental shift that most people are literally terrified of going through, because it results in them realizing, wow, there's nobody above me. There's no external authority. It's just me. I'm in charge of me. And 7 billion people are each in charge of themselves. And that's it. There's no giant nanny state to cry to. There's no giant all-powerful superhuman deity that's going to save the day and make everything work. It's just people. And it really is something too uncomfortable for a lot of people to imagine, which is why they'll bellyache about 99% of what government does. But if you say, well, how about we don't have it at all? They'll be the most vociferous people having tantrums about, we have to have it or there would be chaos. And it shows that it really is a religious belief. The belief in government really is a faith-based belief. It's not the result of logic and evidence and rational anything. It's just you believe in a mythical thing because the idea was bashed into your head your whole life. And that can be a really uncomfortable thing to let go of. It was for me.
I heard a great term today. It's statheists. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
It's
I only just said that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's basically something that atheist anarchists use to talk to atheist statists to point out to them that, you know, they've accepted their, you know, logically to them, there is no God. And they believe that absolutely 100%, but they still cling to the God of the state, which is as ridiculous if you're an atheist.
Right. Yeah. And I like taunting them with that, too. When they say, you know, I say, you know, not all anarchists are atheists, but all atheists are anarchists. And if you call yourself an atheist and you believe in government, the problem is only that you don't recognize that you believe in a God, because you think this one really, really, really is real. And it isn't.
Are you an atheist?
I don't even know how to answer that. What I believe in is...
I think you're a deist by your...
Well, I don't... What I believe in has almost nothing in common with what almost everybody calls God. So I would almost just say, yes, I'm an atheist, but I don't believe that we're just machines. So, and a lot of times the term atheist kind of implies that, even though it doesn't say that. So I'm not a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I don't believe in anything that almost anybody would call God. Any explanation beyond that will take an hour and not really be worth the effort. But I'm not a Christian. That's the simplest.
I guess I got 2 more questions. One is, I want to hear about you talking to kids today. That sounds really cool. And I want to hear more about it and wonder if there's a video of it. And the other is, if you want to think about that segueing into this somehow, is like, you know, I kind of hate discussions of like, well, how would the roads work? And a lot of people do a lot better job explaining to me or conjecturing how things would work in a free market. But I kind of go with the Stefan Molyneux thing of like, that's not really the question. That's like in 1850 saying, well, we can't end slavery because the cotton won't get picked, you know?
Right.
The cotton
right.
got picked without the slavery, and a lot of it had to do with technology, which I think may also help make government more obsolete than ever. But talk about the kids and then talk about how you think things would work different in a free world.
Yeah. First of all, today I talked to 3 groups of students at a public school, believe it or not. I won't say what school, and I won't say which teacher invited me.
And there's not a law against that?
I don't think so. I'm sure they'll pass one if Obama hears this podcast. But it was very interesting because, you know, obviously most kids never hear the idea that just the mere thought of a society without a ruling class. And, you know, we don't call what we have a ruling class, but that's what it is. So we had some fun discussions, and I talked a little bit to 3 different groups. And the thing is, if people never hear the idea, most people never have any reason to think of it at all. Most people never hear these ideas at all. And if you never hear them, you have sort of no reason to ever think about them. I mean, if all you get from the media or the school or your parents or anywhere else, TV, whatever, and certainly the government, if all you ever get is different flavors of statism, like the entire debate is what kind of ruling class will boss you around and what will it use your money for after it demands it from you by force? If that's all you ever hear, how many people are ever going to think maybe we shouldn't have one at all? It's just, it's so far outside the paradigm that if people don't get introduced to it somewhere, I think most people are literally incapable of thinking about that. So it's always fun to get in front of young people who have, you know, they've gotten their status indoctrination for a few years already, but they also, a lot of them seem to know that something is just inherently bogus about the way things are. And so a lot of them are very eager when they start to think, yeah, maybe I don't have a master. And just, you know, these very basic, obvious concepts that they don't hear anywhere else. So it's really fun to see young people starting to think about these things. And they tend to catch on a lot faster than the people who have gone through 30 years of authoritarian indoctrination, because they can see pretty quickly, yeah, I probably shouldn't vote for somebody to rob you. And you probably shouldn't vote for somebody to rob me. Maybe we should just kind of coexist as equals. Good, you're an anarchist. Yay, next. And so to be able to be a part of that is great. And it's fun to be able to see it happen so quickly when, you know, in my own example, it took years to finally dare to let go of my statist indoctrination. And now I see people giving it up in a week or a day, what took me years to give up. So I'm thrilled.
Ron Paul was on C-SPAN today saying that the founders believed that states had a right to secede.
Woohoo! Yeah. Could get interesting.
Interesting. We live in interesting times, and that's a Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. But I'm really excited.
That's a blessing, not a curse.
I'm really excited about how, it's just a crisis tunity. I'm really excited about how upset everyone is about everything, about politics. And, you know, even the statists are upset. I mean, Occupy Wall Street, most of them want a socialist, you know, paradise, but they are upset. Right. You know, the Tea Party is upset. The Democrats are upset. The Republicans are upset. The conservatives are upset. Everyone's upset, man. I like it.
And I like to totally torment them and needle them in their time of discomfort. And when they go and vote and they're like, look at the government doing this. And it's like, well, why do you keep imagining that you have some obligation to give it your money and obey its laws?
If you want to, here's another alcoholic metaphor. You and I help them hit bottom so they can start recover.
Right. And then taunt them, laugh at them while they're in the gutter. Ha ha ha. Look at you. You ready to make something of yourself or what?
Well, at some point you have to reach down and give them a hand and offer to take them to a meeting, which is our podcasts and videos.
Right. Right. Let's go. Let's go to Freedom's Fiends and you'll start your recovery.
We'll take you to the Freedom Fiend reindoctrination camp.
Right. But it does make for, not to be too mean about it, but it does make for a great opportunity to dig down to the principles and say, wait a minute, look what you were voting for and look what you got. Are you ready to try something different? Or do you think that trying to vote Republican for another 50 years is somehow going to result in freedom? Like it didn't for the last 200, whatever.
Well, and I think that, we're joking about sounding kind of mean, but it's not being mean. It's basically like, as long as people are comfortable, they're not going to change anything. If they're comfortable in their invisible chains, they're not going to.
Yeah. And so it really has to be, it has to get really bad before they get to the point of realizing that maybe something is fundamentally wrong. It's not just that the Democrats won instead of the Republicans, because it doesn't make any stinking difference which one wins. We go in the same direction every time. And it's, you know, if your car all the way doesn't start and doesn't work at all, then you start to think, maybe I should do something about this. If it just makes a funny noise, you can keep driving and think, well, maybe everything's okay. when it blows up and dies in the street, then you think, maybe I need a different car or something.
America is a car that's making a funny noise. That'd be a good name for this episode. I think we're pretty close to the end here. I don't really want to go into the how would the roads work, do you? I mean, it's been done to death.
Now, all I would say about that, because it's sort of a cop-out. It's like what the question really implies is, what it literally means is, if I stop advocating that 300 million people I don't know be forcibly robbed, how will the roads work? And my answer, you know, my first answer is, first of all, it doesn't matter. You don't get to rob those people. Even if you're not sure how the roads would work, even if they wouldn't work, you still don't have the right to rob those people. But the second answer, to be a little bit nicer, is what would you do about it? What are your suggestions? What are your ideas? And by the way, whatever they are, there are a million other people who will have better ideas. And the idea that we better resort to violence because I'm not quite sure how something would work otherwise, it's just a complete cop-out. It's not. It's totally, but who will pick the cotton, which is another video I just did. That's not a good argument for slavery, that you're not sure what would happen to the cotton industry. It doesn't stinking matter. But that having been said, people find ways to make things happen. You really think everyone's going to be sitting at home twiddling their thumbs saying, gee, I wish we had a flat piece of pavement we could drive on? Or will they figure out a way to make it happen?
I wonder when the first caveman hit the second caveman over the head to steal his food, if he was thinking, well, this is okay because eventually it'll lead to metal things that'll get us around on flat pieces of pavement.
Right. That's a pretty good justification. Yeah. I thought you were going to say he hits him over the head and said, but if I didn't do this, how would I get food?
Got to feed my family. All right, man. Well, it's been really good. You got any closing comments here?
My usual uncomfortable closing comment is it's really easy to point at everybody else and point out how stupid and ignorant and delusional everybody else is, and to point to people in Washington and say, look how evil and destructive they are. I would really, really encourage people to change the only mind you can change, which is your own, and dare to always re-examine your own paradigms, your own assumptions, and make sure there aren't still contradictions inside your own head. Because it's possible, it's a lot easier, but it's a lot less comfortable to change your own mind than to try to change somebody else's, but you're the only one who's actually going to listen to you. So first, make sure you are being consistent. Make sure you are actually advocating morality. And then you can point your fingers at other people and point out what a bunch of buttheads they are.
Worms.
Worms indeed.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Thank you for listening to the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's kittyfeet.com.
Anarchy Gumbo is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com, the Liberty Radio Network, and No Agenda Global Radio.
All with a rotating guest on a spit, barbecued for your pleasure.
Outtakes, yay.